Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh yes, indeed. It is the 1st of October, 2017. This is Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parkes. Hi, how are you doing? How's your new, are you in a new location? Are you still in the same location?
No, I'm not moving yet.
All right.
So hello, welcome JP, and it's really lovely to be back on the radio show and talk to all the listeners. Hopefully there'll be new people coming to the show as the year progresses. So I am still in Whitby, and the move got pushed back a little bit. A couple of people have asking me, am I going to be a recluse? Am I going to disappear? No, what's happening is that a good friend is going to put me up in the interim period. And because it's his house, I can't really be having lots of visitors coming to see me because it won't be my home. But once I'm sort of established somewhere, then, you know, we'll get back in and do what we normally do. But it's just literally at the moment, plus the fact that there is a concerted attack against the truth media, the alternative news, whatever. And it seemed right for me the month of October to, you know, just to be a little bit careful. It's never about fear, but, you know, it's about being sensible. So no, I'm not going to disappear off the face of the earth. Okay, so that's it. I wanted to quickly do just a short update, really. It's been reasonably quiet, except obviously we've had the stabbing, which I'm sure everyone's listened to. Two people stabbed to death. Very unpleasant. Right, okay, let's talk about the situation in October. I've always said, and many others have said, that October would see something happening. And I've never gone back on that, and I really do believe that. So it was quite interesting. I was having a chat with a local bank manager. Now, normally the audience get the first tabs on the news, but I have to admit that I did actually drop this to the bank manager because it seemed appropriate. We were talking about Deutsche Bank, but it's only one day away from today. It was only yesterday. So Deutsche Bank are in the process of trying to strengthen their position, because it's become very apparent that if Deutsche Bank were to collapse, as it nearly did this time last year, in fact, actually September of last year, then the Chinese would be straight in there to bail it out. Well, not because they necessarily care about Deutsche Bank, but it would give them the control of the European system. Now, as you can imagine, there are plenty of people who don't want that to happen. So Deutsche are in the process at the moment of formulating a policy which might give them some strength for the next 3 months. Everybody knows in the know that Deutsche Bank is broke, but they can keep money moving. So it looks like they're floating. It looks like they're okay. But actually, if you were to say stop the electronic transfers for just a few seconds, let's have a look at what you've got. It would be pretty dire. However, they look like they are pulling together a plan. And that's important, because if Deutsche Bank were to fall, then all of the European banking system would fall. If Deutsche can pull this off, and we'll know within the next week And then there's a very good chance that any economic difficulty from the States won't affect Europe as it could have done. So someone has put two and two together and realized that the key to European financial security is actually whether Deutsche Bank stands or falls. Now, Angela Merkel, the president, was re-elected, and I understand she's very sympathetic to Deutsche, of course, and she's trying to do what she can to make the bank operate without too many constraints. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's the news so far. So keep your eye on any announcements from Deutsche Bank. I went to cinema and I watched the new latest release of The Kingsman. I hadn't really seen any clips of it. And I saw the first one, and I enjoyed the first one. And I thought, well, there was so much hype, certainly in United Kingdom, in Great Britain, adverts on the cinema, the television, the posters up everywhere. Couldn't drive on a motorway without seeing a poster for The Kingsman, The Golden Circle. I went and saw it, and I was absolutely shocked, and I do not recommend it. I certainly won't be buying the disc. It isn't as I expected it to be. It's been, as far as I'm concerned, taken over by satanic forces. There were messages, there were codes in there were triggers. And for those of you who've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't, I don't really care whether I spoil it for you, because I'm going to tell you what happened. You see, at two occasions, somebody being put into a mincing machine. Now, why that has significance is because when particularly younger children are being traumatized for mind control, you know, MK Ultra type training, shall we say, then the mincer is often used. So that had a very big alarm bell for me when I saw that. The whole film, as far as I was concerned, was literally about the president. At the very end, you actually see the president in handcuffs, and it becomes quite obvious that the president is meant to be, excuse me, Donald Trump. We know it's Donald Trump because in the White House office, he's flanked by a general. So they're making the point that Donald Trump is very close in with the American military. The American military liked Donald Trump. And during the film, the general was agreeing with Trump, and there was a very Clinton-like woman, very much like Hillary Clinton, who was against him. So Hollywood, which has always been in the pocket of the Clintons and the Clinton Federation, a special financial establishment that they had, which they said was for charitable use. But many people have doubted that charitable status of it. So nevertheless, Hollywood has been backing the Clintons, and I think that's right, the Clinton Foundation. Couldn't remember what it was, the Clinton Foundation. And it was amazing to see Elton John, the real Elton John, in the film. Now, Elton John was dressed in his most exciting, which is with a feather headdress, his brightly coloured clothes. And for those of you who have made a study of, who have personal knowledge or through a friend of mind control, there is often a brightly coloured object, might not necessarily be a rainbow, but there is a brightly coloured object which acts as a trigger to pull people backwards and forwards in and out of programming, or acts as a divider between certain programs. And so I believe that although Sir Elton had no clue, and I know he's actually a good guy, because he saved Lady Gaga, who was being got at by the Illuminati. Elton's probably one of the few people in Hollywood they can't touch. Firstly, because he's gay. That made him very much a recluse anyway. And secondly, as a billionaire, he can't be bribed. And thirdly, with so much influence, what can you do with a man? So Elton has always been a very independent thing, and I just think that they offered him a role in a very popular film, and he went for it. I don't blame him. You know, that's what show business is. However, the film was dark, satanic. It was a zombie film, and it was totally inappropriate, and I wish I'd never seen it. Although from a research point of view, I suppose it was good. It's not worth paying the money to go and see that. I want to talk about Bitcoin. still ongoing at the moment. There are some alternatives to Bitcoin coming out, and there will be in the next 6 months. Keep an eye on that. The reason I've always been doubtful of Bitcoin was because we said it had been set up by the National Security Agency, and I'm sure now others are cottoning on and saying the same thing. But the NSA have got the drawdown rights on the Bitcoin. So if there was a financial crash at Wall Street, the NSA can raid everybody's Bitcoin accounts, whether they like it or not. So they have the codes for that. Well, of course, because they set it up. But there are a number of other alternative electronic currencies which will be coming online next year. They're not being set up by the NSA, so the NSA don't have the codes to that, so they won't be able to rob those. So as I get information about those, I'll let people know. I want to just have a quick check-in with my friend Sasha Stone. Sasha Stone is in Bali. Bali's had a volcanic eruption and most of the island was evacuated, but I understand Sasha, being the trooper that he is, decided to tough it out and hang on in there. So I'm thinking of you, Sasha, and I hope to see you at some point soon. And finally, yeah, we talked because the question came up about my moving. So yes, I'm not going to be a recluse, but it's just that I have to be conscious of the fact that I'm in, or will be in, someone else's house. And October is quite an interesting time. I might be doing a talk in Devon, possibly in November. I'm not sure, but if that gets firmed up, and I'll stick something on the website so that people who are local or can travel not too difficultly can come and see me. Okay, that's that. It is hectic because I'm up to my eyes in boxes and bubble wrap, but I'm going to make sure that no matter what happens with the move, I will be able to do the next scheduled show. And that's not going to be put off because of my move. All right. Thanks very much indeed for your patience.
We'll get you in the delivery van.
You might just do
live from the road, Simon Parks. So anyway, I'm very pleased to say I want to give a public thank you to Pascal from. I'm going to get this wrong now. I think he's from Sweden. Or maybe, no, he's Dutch. So from the Netherlands, Pascal, who has written a very fast loading page for the front page, which is where everybody is right now. And you remember that last week and, you know, several weeks as our popularity increased, the system would crash because there were too many people. Anyway, we have a nice light front page that doesn't crash the database, which means I can get straight into the messages straight away, which is a really good thing. And also it means that people can hear all the things. I've also got multiple streams running so that if people can't get onto Wolf Spirit Radio, they can go to wolfspiritmedia.com. They can go to everbeyondradio.com and pick up the show from there. Please note, we're not taking phone calls into the studio. Please don't call the studio number until the round table after the show. So call the round table, call me after the show, but not during the show, and then you'll get on the air. Without any further ado, do you have any more bits on your end?
I'll tell you what. You sent me some pictures, which I've looked at. Are those on your site?
No, this is relevant to one of the questions that we'll be answering today, that I'll be asking today.
Okay, I have looked at the pictures that you sent me.
Okay, so you get the idea of that. So we'll find that, this will come along during the show.
Great.
Okay, now, let me scroll down the list here. Oh God, there's some big ones here. There's some nice small ones as well. That's nice. I would ask people. I know that, you know, they're asking very detailed questions. Try not to make too much of a story of it, but ask the question rather than tell the story. We can move on. All right. So we're now definitely onto page two of these. All right. Where are we? Page two. This is the, I'm taking it from, from Midnight PST. All right. Okay. Right. Okay, now, where's this from? Gibbard to Possible? I don't know. maybe they signed it at the end. No. All right. Okay, strange name. Gibber. G-I-B-E. Coincidence or something else? Question. Hello, Simon and JP. A big thanks to both of you for all your hard work and dedication. Back in July, I went to bed at night only to be woken up a little over an hour later because someone kept calling my phone. I didn't pick it up or look at my phone because I don't answer it at that time of night. I just pushed the close button to end the call. However, this person kept calling me over and over, and in the end, I decided to look at my phone. It was a caller with a hidden number, so I figured it was someone who had the wrong number, since no one calls me at the time of night. However, this person kept calling me, so in the end, I got up and picked up the phone, only to find that there was no one on the other end. No one was talking. There was literally no sound from the caller. Then I asked who I was speaking to, and as soon as I answered that question, the caller hung up and ended the phone call. Yeah, see, your cat's very...
Yes, yeah. It's a white cat.
Uh-huh. As a result of me getting up and answering the phone, I was able to see that I'd received a text message from a loved one who said that she was sitting at a train station and was going to jump out in front of a train. I was then able to immediately contact her and prevented her from doing so. I've asked her several times if she was the one who called me, and to this day she insists that she has not called me. Was all of this just a coincidence, or could it be that someone knew what was going on and wanted me to prevent it? It's not the first time I've experienced something like this. So, Simon, coincidence?
Well, it could be a coincidence, and, you know, we would be very silly if we rule that out completely. These things can happen. You can have an automated, well, a computer-controlled fault-finding system within mobile phones or cell phones or landlines, which, when it detects a fault, it does actually ring your number. And when you answer it, there's nobody there. So there's one possibility. It can also be someone who's trying to sell you double glazing. So you get a lot of that. However, if we look at the time that this occurred, then it's unlikely to be someone trying to sell you something. There is a strong possibility, because of the incident that then occurred, that something, rather than someone, was trying to get that individual's attention. It can happen, because if there's a connection between two people, even if those people don't recognize they have a connection, then a third party can intervene or bring those two together or form some form of a network so that that individual becomes aware of a situation. Now, I've had something similar, but not the same as that. Fairly similar. So I would not discount it. But without more detail, you know, it's difficult to say that. So that's my answer. I've been doing this sort of work for 7 years, and I really wouldn't just say, oh, that's coincidental, you know, don't get excited about it. I would actually say that potentially source, is actually intervening in a positive way, but source can only do it when it's got the material to work with, and that means people on the ground. So there are people on the ground who are spiritual or psychic, generally speaking anyway, then they can be put into a position where they would naturally help. They don't have to be forced to help. They just naturally do what they need to do. So, yeah, we may get other callers, actually, in the next few sessions, giving their own stories of how things like that have happened. And that, I think, would be interesting, because then we would see that it wasn't really coincidental. There was a pattern working. So thanks for writing in with that.
So from our old friend Nuck Choris, who is actually in Denmark. Hi, Simon and JP. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend. When I was about 7 to 9 years old, I had a friend whose father gave me an uncut ruby as a thank you for helping him move some boxes. I'm the type of person who loses quite a lot of things because I put them somewhere and then forget where they are or I throw them out. However, this ruby has never been... This ruby has always been easy for me to find. It's very little value to me, and I have never put any effort into keeping it. I'm even certain that I've put it into a box that I ended up throwing out, yet the ruby always seems to find its way back to me. I always expected it to be fake, but a few months ago I went to a jewellery store because I wanted to know if they could help me turn it into a necklace. The lady I spoke with asked me where I had gotten the ruby and had a vibe in her voice as if she expected me to have stolen it. Because, as it turns out, it was actually a real uncut gemstone and not a fake. So, the question is there anything special about gemstones, or is it just a coincidence that it keeps being by my side, no matter how many times I forget where it is or even put it away? Much love and peace from Albertslund in Denmark.
Oh, thank you. Winkeach lent me, about 7 years ago, a very small paperback book about a guy who recounted his story when he was younger with greys, who were teaching him to sort of astral travel. And he, in his book, he recounts the fact that he lost successively three pieces of Moldavite. Every time he had a piece of Moldavite, he bought a piece, he'd keep it for 2 weeks, and then he lost it. And you know, the first time you just naturally think the cat's got it. Certainly you'd think that if it came here. Then the second piece went missing, and again thought, well, I've just obviously lost it. And then the third piece went missing, and then he stopped buying it because, you know, it wasn't going to happen. So it was very, very coincidental that I had a piece of Moldavite which I bought, and that disappeared. And then I thought, well, I can't find that, and I did like that. And it did actually, when I first held it for about 10 minutes, it really was very effective for me. Got a second piece, and within maybe 3 weeks, that disappeared. Got a third piece, and within 2 weeks, that disappeared. So anyway, I had a chat with those that know about this subject, i.e. those things that are off this planet. And it's literally, from the Moldavite point of view, there are certain negative forces that don't want humans increasing their psychic capabilities. And Moldavite is one of those minerals that can do that. So there are negative forces, probably some groups of the greys, that will just come in and nick them, basically. So the cat's trying to climb the water. So I was told if somebody buys a piece for you as a present, they can't take it. But if you've bought it, it's where the universe works, and it's easier for them to take it. So I got someone to buy me a piece, and sure enough, a number of years later, I still got it. Right, the ruby. It's interesting that it's uncut. I think the person said it was an uncut stone.
Yes.
That actually has different sorts of energies when they're uncut. Most people prefer stones to be cut, but if you're using it from a shamanic point of view or a healing point of view, some of the uncut stones can be quite special. The person gave that ruby because presumably it meant something to them. So they were saying thank you, and they gave that ruby as a thank you. For all you know, I'm talking to the person who wrote in, that could be a protection for you. You know, it could have been a protection. And, you know, don't throw things away or do things like that. If you've got a stone like that, they're worth hanging on to. They're worth preserving, and really hopefully we shouldn't think about how much they're worth or the money they could bring in. It should really be about the energy that came with that stone. So you did a task, you gave energy, and this person gave you something in return for that, and so from that point of view, it's come to you with a very good background, a very good history, and so it's about learning what a ruby is and what can that be used for. There's the Crystal Bible. There are plenty of other books out there which can help you to do that. If it was given to you and there is that connection, which I believe there is, then it won't leave you because it's got a positive energy. If your life has been okay and not too bad, then it's okay. It's positive. Sometimes black magicians will give people certain items or gifts which really deteriorate their life, and it's very obvious that it's a bad thing. But this is a positive thing. So no, I don't think that's coincidence at all. I think somebody knew a lot more than they told you, and I think you should look after that ruby. Thank you.
Interesting. I was getting the same sort of idea that it's actually quite a very special stone, And I've got various crystals. It's funny you used to say about the Moldavite. There's a piece of Moldavite somewhere in my house. And it's one of those things that always turns up. There it is in a little pile with all the other bits of crystals and stuff like that. And it just turns up. And were you saying that it was your friend Wynne who couldn't hold Moldavite long?
No.
Isn't that interesting, since he was part of the group that destroyed the planet that created the Moldavite in the first place?
Well, I think there's probably a lot of whether there's a karmic energy connection between the planet and Wynne, or whether Wynne just obviously feels aggrieved that there's an old saying that the military use, which is that the ends justify the means, and that's a throwaway term which doesn't really take effect of what that means. You know, if you think about all the civilians who were killed in Afghanistan, did it justify it? Well, I don't think it did. You know, so I think what Wynne's doing is having to come to terms with the fact that a great number of innocent people lost their lives, but a very, very, very malevolent force was destroyed and taken out. And in its defense, that it wasn't that the strike force that Wynne was connected to all those millions of years ago went out and said, well, you know, come what may, this is what we're going to do. The weapon was overestimated. In other words, the charge they used, my understanding is the charge they used was over and above what was required, because they had miscalculated the density or the surface area of the planet. And so there was never that expectation to do that.
Yeah, I also think that there was some other explosive form there that kind of, what's that word, accelerated
right. The
thing. That there were, you know, there were factors in the planet itself. But anyway, it's a very interesting subject. Maybe we should do another Destruction of Maldek show. The Destruction of Maldek show here on Wall Spirit Radio. So, thank you for that. Here's a question from Alexandra. Hello, Simon. Could you explain more what exactly is projected to be written in the Akashic Records for this October? If the Cabal is trying to stop it, then it must be something positive. Can they stop it? Are there any protective mechanisms in place to prevent interference in the records? And can other ETs or spiritual beings protect Akashic Records so they remain untouched? So, I'll do it one by one. What exactly is projected to be written in the Akashic Records for this October? This is something you've been talking about.
Right. Okay. The Akashic Records are let's just use this very, very 3D, are a blank sheet of paper, and when something occurs, it is then committed down into the history. But consciousness can project where it wants to go. Indeed, the human psyche is very powerful at doing that, and people just don't realize generally just how powerful it is. That's why adverts do so well on this planet, because once the human psyche gets behind it, then it just runs with it, you know. Therefore, the Akashic Records can feel, that's the best word I can use, can begin to take an imprint, that's probably a better way of doing it, what is projected to come along. And if you have the ability, you can sometimes read that imprint. It hasn't yet happened, but it is projected to happen. What's projected to happen in October is something reasonably big, which gives a shock to the English-speaking world, and has the opportunity to break free a large number of people from their everyday mundane drudgery. In other words, something is projected to happen which will make people stop and think about who am I, what am I, who do I trust, what really is worth fighting for on this planet. So that is projected to happen. And if I know this, other bad people will know it and they'll want to stop that. So that's why October is important. Okay. First question that was.
Then, if the Cabal is trying to stop it, then it must be something positive. And can they stop it?
Right. We have talked a little bit about this several times on the show, and I believe other people have also touched on the subject. No, they can't stop it, but they can delay it. And that's what they've been doing, and they've been doing it rather too successfully for my liking. Excuse me. I've often talked about a piece of rubber or elastic band that you pull, and the amount of material in the band doesn't change, but it's stretched. And what they're doing is they're stretching time. So these things that are projected to occur in X, Y, and Z are now pushed through to the next alphabet, shall we say. In other words, they're still projected to occur, but not when everybody was expecting them. And these guys who have been running this planet now for several thousand years are very adept at doing this. You know, you went back on YouTube, you would find over the last 30 years, that would have been uploaded from old 8mm video, I guess, but over the last 30 years and longer, people in the know have been warning about a financial crash, and time after time, it never came. They warned about it, it never came. And in the end, people get sick of it. You know, you keep saying there's going to be a financial crash and nothing happens. That's because there are a sizable group of people who are not very nice, who only live to survive by the profits they make on the backs of all of us. And that's the end of their whole game. So if they have access to that technology that allows them to stretch time, to push this into the long grass, as a golfer would say, or what have you, they'll do it. And they've been doing it consistently over the last 30 years. But what's happened is that the human condition has changed dramatically in the last few years. The human consciousness has become so powerful that it's now becoming increasingly difficult for any negative entity, not just on this planet actually, but off planet as well, to manipulate easily, and still manipulate, but manipulate easily outcomes they want. So often, those of you who are very psychic will be aware that there's a, what we call in Britain, a tug of war, where you give a long piece of rope and then two teams and they're pulling on the rope, and the very center of the rope's got a ribbon on it and there's a line on the ground, and the object is to pull that other opposing team across the line. But what's happening is that the good force and the negative force are fighting. And sometimes the negative force gets more of that rope on its side. Sometimes it's the positive side. So if you do a reading, and let's take a remote viewer. A remote viewer could do a reading on Monday. I could look forward to the future. Others who've got the skill can look forward. And you'll see something on the Monday and you'll think, that's not looking too good. But if you did the same reading 3 days later, you might have a completely different reading, because it's been pulled back the other way. That's why people who remote view need to do it in teams, and they need to do it to the end point. Because if you can, and that's the hard part, getting the coordinates for the end point, so there's no more pulling to the right, pulling to the left. Whatever you've got, that's what's going to occur. So what did Arnold Schwarzenegger say, which was, the future's not set in stone. I think it was him or somebody from the Terminator film. The future's not set in stone. In other words, we can alter our future. And that's what's happening. The human consciousness is forcing down one route, and the negative forces are trying to force it down another. That's why it's so difficult to project a correct future. So I hope that explains something. Thank you.
Thank you. So now, can, this is still from her question,
yep,
can other ETs All right. Now, can they? Now, are there any protective mechanisms in place to prevent interfering in the records?
Ah,
wow.
Right. The universe. I'm just using that term. Okay. I'm just using it as a term. Everybody knows it's a multiverse. And the universe has laws which are free will. Now, if somebody wants to interfere with your Akashic records, it's their free will to do so. But the rules and the laws are that you can only remove or strike out elements that relate to you, and if you've been given the authority to do so. There are plenty of very unpleasant things that would like certain things removed from the Akashic, because it's a history. And if a race of people can access the truth, then they can actually see, let's say, for instance, how the human race came about. We have a story from the Bible and other religious books. We have the accepted system that's given to us by the establishment. But if everybody, and I mean everybody, could routinely read the Akashic records, they would find that that was totally at odds or variance with the establishment's vision, and somewhat different from the Bible or any other religious book. So it's not in people's interests, evil people's interests, to let the human race evolve to a position where it can access the Akashic. And as that becomes more likely, so these negative forces are attempting to rewrite or hide the Akashic. The answer is no, you cannot fully remove histories from the Akashic, but you may have the right to remove certain portions, providing they relate solely to you. Now, there is a race that I'm very familiar with that has the right to remove things from source for a temporary period of time, and that's the Mantid or Mantis race. They can't permanently remove things, but they can temporarily remove things. So let's say, for instance, Mantis want to do a deal, and they want to double cross a reptilian faction. So the Mantis will do a deal with something or someone, and that will not then appear in the Akashic, so that a reptilian group would, looking at the Akashic, won't see what their supposed friend has just done behind their back. So it's think about like lawyers, how lawyers will do things. It's very similar to that. So we have to be careful. The human race is a young race. We are just stepping out on our journey of non-physical understanding. And we are faced with a most exciting but complex manipulation of energies. And, you know, we haven't been around for millions and millions and millions of years of evolving positively forward, as many of these other races have, because they have the capability to access the Akashic at the drop of a hat. We don't, generally speaking. There are a few people around who can. And it's only when the many, not the few, can access the Akashic that's another important stepping stone for the human race to evolve forward. So the Akashic is a good thing, but it's not above being altered. So that's probably the best way to describe it.
That's a very interesting answer. And another very interesting question, slightly on the same. Starstuff is asking, as I listen to your show, I am in search of knowledge and the truth about our past, whether it is past lives or the truth about the earth and ancient civilizations. I am reading a book called Remembrance and have found it so far a really interesting read and enjoying it immensely. My question is, how do you access the information about your past lives? Is there a specific technique that can be used without hypnosis? I ask this because I feel hypnosis can be easily manipulated and the loss of control over one's mind is not for me. Not to mention any other entities that may enter when in this state of unconscious surrender. Very good question, don't you think?
Yeah. Okay. Hello, Kat. Come on. I often am asked about hypnotic regression, and I do recommend it for people who are in a very difficult state because they cannot access their memories. These are particularly for people who have been through a sort of an MK Ultra type program, or people who have had alien connections but can't really remember it, and they're in a terrible state because they don't understand what's happening to them. They don't know whether it's good or bad, etc., etc. So there is a place for hypnotic work. My advice has always been the same, is that you find somebody who is personally recommended to you. So if you're in a, if you're a spiritual person, psychic person, hopefully you're in connection with other spiritual groups. Who have they used that have been good? And then ask if you can take someone along with you who you trust. You know, that's always very, very, very helpful. Now then, generally speaking, if you're in a hypnotic trance or a hypnotic state, it is not possible for entities to take you over because you're not actually leaving your body. What you're doing is accessing a portion of your memory, whether that's DNA memory or brain memory, doesn't matter. But you're accessing a portion of your memory that is yours by right to have. This happened to you. This is part of the mindset, actually. You've got to say, you know, I have the right to recall this because this has occurred to my physical body, or the physical body that my soul has inhabited over many, many generations. So who has the right to stop me having that memory? So you have to be quite clear on that. And that's a game changer once you can get into that mindset. So you're not actually going to be taken over or attacked. What you've got to watch for is that you're, in a 3D sense, not led by the man or woman doing it. So it's very, very tempting to say, are you in a room? Well, you shouldn't even ask that. You know, it's where are you? So unintentionally, people can lead people to create additions to their memory. The way you would access that is going to depend on the soul in your body. So if you are a very controlling, I don't mean that negatively, if you're very controlling, quite a particular person with a strong reptilian element to your soul, then the method that you would use to access or go into the hypnotic state would be very different from somebody, say, who's sixth dimensional, a Lyran soul. So it's not about giving up your sovereignty. Never, ever, ever, because you must never do that. You're more likely to give up your sovereignty if you take a drug like LSD or crack cocaine. You are giving up your sovereignty. But if you're doing this regression, you're doing it for a good intent, and you found a good person, you'd be fine. So I hope that helps.
Great. So there's a beautiful gestalt that is happening with these questions. So leading on from this is a completely other call. Questioner, Filippo Benini. I would like to word out my thinking and hear your feedback on what is going to follow. I came to you because an Italian professor that worked unknowingly for the Italian intelligence found out by hypnotizing abductees and about mantis and human beings as soul containers. He says that 80% of humans are not of interest because they don't have a soul and their DNA is not suitable to contain higher souls. You say that there are 75%, that 75% of humans are Earth humans and are younger souls. But this could be a simply a different angle on the same thing. My point is this, 20 to 25% of potentially awakened people are many, and we would need less than 1% of humans to create change. But also, it's a lot of assumptions here, but also people that consider themselves awakened are deeply entrapped into psychoses and fears that prevent them to act as sovereign beings. They are in fact totally conditioned by authority through fear and would never raise a finger to do anything. From my experience, there is less than 1 out of 10,000 that may have some courage to face authority, public officials, banks, and stand up peacefully. Due to mind conditioning, there is no free will. That's why my opinion is that without help from the above, we will never make it. The observers from higher dimensions, I imagine from the seventh or so, cannot understand what it is like down here as they've never experienced it. Talking to people and showing them the way will not be enough. Experiments on behavioral conditioning proved it. It is not teachable. Only very few are really born with the ability to escape and not be subjected to a fear. So our brothers should intervene and end this situation. Wow. Well, There you go. What do you think about this?
Okay, right. Okay, yeah. Let's
do you, have you parsed that?
Yeah, I've got it. First of all, we should be very, very careful of any information that comes out from any intelligence agency or anybody who has worked for an intelligence agency to do any hypnotic work on genuine experiences, people who have had alien experiences. I mean, what's interesting is that the very fact that this guy is saying that he has knowledge that the Italian Secret Service have used a person to engage with genuine alien experiences shows us that the Italian government is very well aware of the alien agenda. Well, they will be because they've got the Vatican right nestling there, so they'll know all about it. Okay, I don't agree quite strongly with one sentiment, and I agree nearly okay with everything else that the writer has put in. First of all, I can't say every human, but 99.9% of humans on this planet have a soul. It is very, very difficult to animate a biological body unless you have a soul. Quite rightly, some of the greys refer to humans as containers because they appreciate that the physical body maintains a soul, and some of these greys don't have a soul. They don't need one because they are networked, artificial intelligence networked, and they're robotic. So 99.9% of all humans on this planet will have a soul. That's why they came here. That's what Source is about. Source is about saying I can create life. This is an energy intent. We've talked about this. It's about 18 inches long, rugby ball or American football shaped, different colors of white and blue light. And that is life, consciousness. But it can't do much on a physical world. And if it wants to experience it, then it's got to come into a physical body. Right, let's get on to the second point here, which is actually for me much more interesting. Okay, what would happen if large numbers of people took to the streets and said, come and save us? And spaceships came down and overthrew the government. Overthrew the government and all the evil people, overthrew them all. Who's going to rule on this planet? If the human race as a whole or as a large percentage doesn't engage in the process of breaking free, but instead relies on somebody else to come and do it for them, they therefore never had the skills to learn that. And so it will just replicate all over again. You will replace one group of leaders with another group of leaders, and you've got this huge gap between the leaders who have the power and the knowledge and those they're supposed to serve, the citizenry, who know nothing. And so what does the elite group do? After a short period of time, it begins to say, well, we don't need to tell these people anything. We'll just, you know, do what we need to do. And within a few years, they become like the group that were removed. If I, you know, those of you who've been parents, it's very, very, very difficult. If you've got a child, boy or a girl, who wants to learn to cook food, and if you say, don't go near the cooker, you're going to burn yourself. What happens is that you don't teach that child how to prepare food. And you make that child dependent on you to provide that food. But if you say to the child, I'm going to support you and show you how to prepare food so that you don't hurt yourself, then your need as the person who holds that power is reduced. And that's the problem, because individuals like having power. That's a thing on this planet. And if you start telling people how things work, they don't need to ask you. So you've got to have a completely different mindset to say, I want to empower people. I want people to know how to do it. One of the ways I actually say it jokingly is, well, I'm not going to get bothered. If X, Y, and Z, you know, when I was working in a traditional and I was in local government, and I was a what I call a council officer, and I had a team of staff. If I showed them how to do things, then perhaps it meant that I wasn't so important in the office, because people didn't have to keep coming to me to say, oh, Simon, how do you do this? And make me feel really good about that. My view was, I'm not going to get bothered now. That person can do that job. They don't need to come and ask me. So we've got to look at the human race and say, what is the best way for people to actually learn a lesson? Not because they're being hit with a stick, but because they actually realize that to empower themselves, they have got to do it. You know, the difficulty with the people on this planet is they always want an easy option. And I'm not being rude. I mean, you could say, well, actually, isn't that a good idea? You know, who would go for the difficult option if you could have the easy option? The problem is that the easy option is, come in and do this for me. Come and sort it out. I can't do this math question. Just tell me what the answer is. Well, if you always get the answer, but you don't know the workings out, how is it then when you go and sit your exam, and let's say being on this planet is one big exam, and you get posed the questions because you didn't learn the working out, you turn round to your friend to help you, and your friend's not there. You can't do it. So, no, I absolutely, categorically, very strongly say that we don't ask people to come and do the job for us. What we do is we say, come and help us to balance the books. At the moment, things are more even, but what the negatives have done is force everything in the military into the fear, the terrorism, you can't go out on the street without this being happened, and trying to turn one group against another group. That's the energies that they're using. And what we need is people to be able to see through that. But I will come back and say that the person who wrote this question is right, that people are frightened to stand up and voice their opinion. I mean, British people in particular are not very good at complaining. Americans are very good at complaining.
We're not known for our confrontational abilities.
No. But there's a problem.
Because we usually get the Scots to do that for us.
Yeah, because
the English do anyway.
Yeah, if you are a shop in Britain, you could probably get away with more than you could in France or the United States, because you're counting on the fact that British people won't complain. And the person who wrote this is 100% correct. That even people who are honest, psychic, aware, all the rest of it, when it comes to taking action, there is this establishment control that means that they are hesitant to do that. But why are they hesitant to do it? They're hesitant to do it because they've never been empowered. Maybe if we look back through the Akashic records, we would see time and time again, somebody did come in and do it all for us. So we never learnt how to question. We never learnt how to say no. We never learnt how to say, I don't like what you're doing. We always kept looking over our shoulder. Where's that silver disc? When is that going to land? And those nice people come out and do the things for us. Maybe that's why so many people on this beautiful planet of ours talk the talk, but they can't do the walk, because they had never actually been supported to be confident and to be strong, and to realize that everybody has a right to voice their opinion, to voice their feelings, and everyone else actually should have a right to at least listen to that person and say, even if they don't agree, they can say, I accept that that's how you feel. I understand that that is the way you feel. I may not understand the feelings, but I understand that you feel that way, and I have to accept that. Now, that's a massive thing for people on a planet that's a physical world, because we've left the physical argument. We're moving into the energies. Some people call it emotional. It's the physical energies. So maybe the human race has never been supported and nurtured and helped so that it left the baby stage from crawling to walking, maybe it never had that. Maybe that's why so many people are like that. It's nothing to do with them being weak-minded or stupid, but they just have never taught to do it. So absolutely no. I would never want anyone to come down and do it for us. They can come down and show us and say, okay, this is how you do it. Now you go and do it. Isn't that how you teach, you know, kids in a college? You demonstrate it and then you say, you do it now. Some people like just to do it themselves, but that's what humans naturally want to do. They want to get their hands on it. They want to do it and they want to take ownership of that. If somebody comes in and says, you can't have ownership of this because we're going to do it all for you. Well, you might as well just sit in the corner and say, right, you know, get me a cup of tea, get me a cup of coffee and I'll just sit here and you can do it all for me. So I understand. I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious here. I understand the questioner because it is terribly frustrating for all of us who will listen to this show and everyone else thinking, for goodness sake, when is it going to change? It just seems to go on and on and on. When will the human race do it? And, you know, the fact that we're thinking that is actually helping to push towards this critical mass. Because it's not just about a number of people, because the questioner talked about numbers of people. It's to do with energy. You can have a surprisingly small number of committed people who can produce the most powerful brainwaves, the most wonderful love and intent and strength, which, you know, could literally move mountains. Then you might have a million people, 10 million, a billion, but if they're not focused and if they're not really understanding, the amount of energy they can put forward is minimal. So it's quality, not quantity. And in 2012, when without a shadow of a doubt, this planet and its living creatures moved as we'd never done before, we did it because there was just a very few people on this planet, very small numbers, but who had made it psychically, spiritually. And that was enough to prove to the planet, to prove to Source, actually we were worth saving. So that was a really good question, but there was also an element in that which I felt I had to deal with head on. So thank you, it was a good question.
There you go. How to be confrontational in English.
Good time to have a cup of tea.
Yes. Now, what was I... We have, do you know about Steely Dan? Do you know who Steely Dan
is? Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
What's all around my hat.
No, that's Steely Span.
Well, that's very similar to someone who has dyslexia. Come on.
Well, let's find something that is, slightly, this is one about, the financial craps. It's called Black Friday.
Oh, go on then. Nigel Lawson.
And welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks. At this stage in the show, you normally do a
thing. I'm ready.
And you're ready. You have your list.
I do. It's not a full list, I'm afraid, because I sort of nearly swallowed by a great big cardboard box full of bits I had in it. I just want to say thank you to people who continually support me. One of the uses of the money is to visit people. And in fact, Sasha Stone had come down to Britain and I traveled to visit him. And so although Sasha was really good and the people around him, they paid for lunch. But obviously traveling there and getting put up in a B&B and stuff like that. So, you know, these monies that are given really do help me. So I want to thank Nan, Sylvia, Kate, Robert, Martin, Tobias, Oliver, Caroline, Stefan, Alexis, Mihayet, John, Joanne, and I've seen this one before, healthy, wealthy and wise. Well, we may not be wealthy with money, but let's hope that we're healthy and wise, eh? And Jackie, Maita, Morris, Anita, Natalie, Stuart, Shari, Benjamin, Joanne, Ingeborg, Rosemary, Decker, Christiane, and it looks like Panky and Anne. There were others, but I just really didn't have the time to run that down with all the, what's going on. So just to thank everybody, very kind of you. It means a great deal to me. Thank you. Before we go on, someone's just let me know that there's some personal stuff apparently going on the chat at the moment. You know, if you want to do personal stuff, that's absolutely fine, but I will just address it. No, my children are in their 20s and 30s. No, they're not with the wife because I don't have any children with her. My children came from a previous relationship. So, you know, please don't start discussing things privately. If you have a private question, then have the courtesy to do it to me directly. Thank you.
So, Andrea. Hi, guys. I had my reading with you, Simon, a few weeks ago. I'm the lady from Romania with a Pleiadian soul.
Ah.
Two questions I have for you. What is the significance of me seeing the letter S in the sky and the world around me? Also, how come the Pleiadians have not made physical contact with me since I'm related to them and always felt connected to a higher realm? So,
right.
The letter S and... Why haven't they called? Do I know that feeling?
Well, at least it's not the tax man.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have to be thankful right. That not all calls are good. Anyway, go on.
Right. In most cases, when a symbol, letter, number is seen by the recipient, it is a specific thing to that individual. You know, if you saw the letter P in the sky, you'd say that was P for Pleiades. But it doesn't work like that because it's about what's important to you or what will become important to you. If you think that the things that happen to us are designed to break us out of our, excuse me, our programming or to alert us, to show us, to make us question or to warn us, and then we are going to be given information that's just specific to us. So I can't answer that. It's obviously just specific to you. And if you're seeing the world, well, I think that's probably a message saying that this is what it is. This is the beauty of it. We're connected to everyone. This is what we're fighting for. It's not just this little corner, this country, that city, that town. This is it. This is the whole living, breathing planet. This is what it's all about. So there's that part. Now, why don't you get a knock on the door or a ring on the doorbell? Well, first of all, how do you know you haven't? If I was to look at 100 people who said they'd never had any alien experience whatsoever, I would find a quarter of them had, but had no memory of it. So if just because you consciously don't have a memory doesn't mean that's not happened. So that's the first thing. But let's just say you never have. Well, if someone has a reptilian soul, would they walk around saying, well, the reptilians haven't called on my door? No, they'd be going around saying, well, thank goodness for that. So if we have a soul in our body that is seen as benevolent, then we want these people to connect with us. But if we have one that's seen as negative, we don't want them around us. Thank you very much indeed. So there's a problem to start with, isn't there? The question is, what would you gain by that connection? What would you want them to say to you? What would you want them to? What do you think you'd get out of it? What would they get out of it? And I've always said that it isn't just about you might be, Andromedian or Palladian, what have you. It's about what you have done in your past lifetimes. It's at what stage you are in your development. And from a negative perspective, how have the negatives in past lifetimes worked with you? What have you done? What have you chosen to do that may have played into their agenda? Or if you've been on the other side of the fence, what have you done that's played into the positive agenda? often we have a balancing act. So if one side goes to an individual and tries to sway them one way, then it's allowed now for the other side to go to them. And that's why so many individuals get visited by more than one faction. So there's this counterbalancing going on and they get fought over. And now that's hugely emotionally damaging for the human psyche. You know, you're on Monday, you get terrorized out of your skin by feeling perhaps hands grab you by the legs when you're in bed and try and pull you out of bed. And then on Wednesday, some tall white angelic creature comes down and wants to have a chat with you. You know, to be able to connect with that. So sometimes these positive guys don't involve themselves because they know as soon as they do, it'll bring a whole shed load of trouble to that individual. And maybe also it's not that person's time yet. You know, maybe we all have clocks, so to speak, in this, and we will activate or we will do something when we are stimulated by an external action, which may be 5 seconds time, tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, who knows. So just because it hasn't happened in your conscious mind, A, doesn't mean it hasn't, B, doesn't mean it's not yet to happen. So use this time to prepare yourself to go on your own spiritual journey. Maybe you say to yourself, you know what? I don't need them. I am sovereign. I am myself. I will go out there and I will learn and I will make decisions. And you know what? If they want to come down and sit around a table and have a chat with me, that's fine. But don't they dare tell me what to do. I think that's a really good way of doing it. Advise me. Give me some help because you've been around for trillions of years. But don't tell me what to do. And, you know, just because we as a human race are very new doesn't mean that we should be treated like that. And so don't always want something to come to you. I'm not going too long here, but I have had a number of people who will remain nameless who have beseeched me, and that's probably the right term, that sounds very religious, to make a contact for them, to arrange it, because they know that these things are real. And they really want to have that experience. And I've actually said to them, you know, well, explain to me why. What is it that you feel you're missing? What is it that you know it's real? You know that these things are real. Why do you have to experience it to believe it? And what do you think it will do to your life? And many of these people don't realize that it actually changes your life. Today, I would not be the person that I am if I'd not had those experiences. Now, who's to say those experiences were all good? Some of them weren't good. Some of them are very, very demanding and very, very challenging. And who really wants to go through what I went through? You know, a lot of people say, oh, I want to experience, but they don't actually perhaps fully understand what is involved and what that means. You know, it's not like, oh, that's great. Let's all sit around and have a seance and Uncle Tom will come through and knock three times if you're here. I mean, that's just, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about stuff that is not understood, officially. And therefore there's no support network. There's no education for it. There's no control. And every individual person on this planet who has an experience, he or she has to come to terms with it themselves without any help, really. And for many people, it's too much for them. There are suicides, people going mad, people are ostracized, you know, you lose friends, you lose family. You know, there is a massive impact to this, and most of these creatures are fully aware of that. And they know that once they start to interact with an individual in anything more than just a one or two off, that that will change that person's life. Therefore, if they're good entities, there's going to be a very negative effect in a 3D way to that individual. So they've got to have projected forward that there's enough positive to be made to outweigh the negative. And sometimes what happens is the positive is made because the individual then works with a wider group of people, but he or she has a very negative effect because their immediate family turn against them, or you know, they lose their job, or what have you. So it's so easy to say, I wish they contacted me, but think it through. Do you really want all that? So it's a good question. Thank you.
I might have mentioned it before. There's a brilliant TV show called People of Earth.
Huh.
And it's about an abductee support group. And in this show, there's one guy who's like really into ETs and they really wanted to be abducted. And when he did get abducted, he gets kind of completely mind controlled by the AI bot and, comes back and nearly kills them all. Because they, you know, they load him up like a time bomb, you know.
Right.
So that's a good moral of the story.
You did mention it and I took your advice and I did watch a couple of episodes recently. I thoroughly enjoyed them, and I would recommend. Now, what I did detect was that whoever's advising the production crew knows their stuff. It's very, very well researched. But when I say that, I don't mean sitting hours and hours reading internet. They actually have spoken to real experiences because I only saw the first and the second episode, but in it, there was a big argument about we're not abductees, we're experiencers. And there is that in the environment. There is that real argument. I don't like to be called an abductee. I prefer to be called an experiencer. And then there was the one about they all said when they'd had their alien experience that the alien had said to them, you're very special.
Yeah.
And that's actually true. That is true. Because when fourth dimensional entities engage with humans, they say to them, you're special. Now, this is misunderstood. It's not about trying to make that individual feel special, make them feel that they're better than anyone else. That's not what the entities are trying to say to them. It's the terminology used. What it means is that you've been picked out for whatever it is, therefore you are different and you are special to us. Now that's the key. You are special to us. And I've had that as a five-year-old. Then these entities have said to me, you're very special. So I know that this is a real true happening with these individuals. They say these not to make people get big heads, but simply because to these entities, you are special. They've come God knows how many miles to interact with you. You know, and I love it when I had a chat with someone only the other day and they gave me a really fantastic, vivid memory of as a five-year-old, she was out with her family and a silver disc comes down over the telegraph pole. So can't only be about 100 feet off the ground. And they stay looking at it for 2 or 3 minutes. And then it disappears. And this had stuck with her all that time and her whole life had changed after that. She became very spiritual, etc. And I said to her, when she'd not even considered it, do you really think that this spaceship has come goodness knows how far to hover 100 feet over a telegraph pole for you to have a good look at for 30 seconds or a minute and then go away again? I said, bottom line is that you will have been up in that spacecraft. They will have communicated with you and then they will have put you back and they can manipulate time. And that is when you changed and became spiritual because you suddenly had your awareness expanded. You suddenly realized that the constraints that the establishment have put on you are fake and you can break through it. So often when people say they see a silver disc or they see an alien craft, they don't realize that they've probably been in there and these entities have been conversing with them. And that's how much people don't remember. It's a massive blank on people's memories. And so you get any memory back, you've done really well. You know, that's fantastic because knowledge is power. And if you get the memories back, then the fear disappears because you're always wondering, well, what is it? Who is it? Why? But if you get some memory back, you begin to answer those questions and then the fear drops away. It's a bit like going into a dark room with a flashlight or with a candle. You suddenly have the light and you begin to make out things in the room. You begin to make out the story. So that was another good question. Thank you.
Yes, and excellent show. People of Earth, people. Now, So last show, this is from Kyle. Last show, you mentioned an event possible in October, not of the elite's making. Could you explain this? Thanks for the time and effort you put in.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very kind of you. People outside of this show perhaps don't realise just how much time of my life is devoted to this. I don't mean devoted to the radio show, but that is part of it. It's just, this is my life. This is what I do. As many other people do, they're desperate to fight the negatives and to support and do something positive. You know, most people can do something and they want to help. Nearly every financial crash that we've had was orchestrated by the negatives for the simple reason that if Mr. Smith's shoe factory is worth £100 or $100 on Monday and then it's only worth £30 on Tuesday, then Mr. Wealthy can come in and buy the shoe factory at $30, and then 3 weeks later it's back up worth $100. And that's what they do. That's exactly what they do. They engineer disasters so that they can go in and buy things up at rock bottom prices, and then as those prices increase, they sell them off and make a huge profit. And then, unfortunately, that's what these guys live for. But there are certain things that occur out of their control that they have no management of. And the situation in October financially will be out of their control. So we already know, because it's in the established news, that the Rothschilds have officially said that they called it the experiment. The financial experiment now is over. And they likened it to an express train, a locomotive, without the guy controlling it. So in other words, the Rothschilds created this enormous, absolutely gargantuan money system, and there's nobody driving it anymore. They're not driving it anymore because they can't control it anymore. And to a certain extent, it's done everything for them anyway. So we have the potential in October for something to occur financially, either in the banking sector or in the stock market sector, which will not be of the making of the elite. Now, talked about earlier about Deutsche Bank attempting to block up the potential for a banking crash. So that, if they pull that off, that leaves us with a stock market crash. And remember, several established newspapers have been talking about this for the last 8-9 months. So let's see where we go with this. If there is a stock market crash, it will not be of the elite's making. And that is why these guys are trying to stretch time, because they don't want a stock market crash. In my own country, here in Great Britain, the Financial Times newspaper, one of the most established newspapers in the British Isles, covered on its front page, this is on Saturday, on its front page said that house prices in London had gone down for the first time in 9 years. Now, I remember last year in I think it was Nottingham, I was doing a talk in Nottingham, and I actually said to the audience, house prices are going to go down. I know that looks crazy because everything's looking good, but I said house prices are going to come down. So here we are just over a year later, and for the first time in 9 years, house prices are well down. Britain has now dropped its very strong economic status, and this is not really to do with Britexit. It's to do with the connection between the British stock market and the European Central Bank. So it's very fashionable to blame Britexit on Britain's woes. That's not the case. If I'll be honest with you, if we were still in Europe, we'd actually be worse now. The fact that we're separate has put a firewall to some extent, or will do, between Britain and Europe. So I'm expecting something to happen that is not planned or orchestrated by the negative forces. And that's why they're running around in a panic. Thank you.
Okay, right. So that's a very interesting reference you said. That is not the Illuminati. Anyway, so Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a really good one. Any updates on off-planet groups taking disclosure into their own hands? And how do you think this will happen?
Yes. This is to do with Antarctica. Antarctica keeps coming back into the news. And you know what happens, unfortunately, the way people have been mind-fed by the system is that you have a hot topic for 3 or 4 days. People go all onto that and they get very bored. And then there's another hot topic and there's another hot topic. And instead of building and practicing and learning, we tend to jump from one thing to the next. So we've covered a whole range of stuff, but actually we're not really deeply looked into it. The Antarctica thing rises and falls, but it's really important. And clearly nobody in power has wanted to talk about Antarctica because of the release of technologies that are coming through from that and will come through from that. In fact, President Trump is not staking his presidency on it, but he's put a lot of hope behind the fact that something will feed out from here, which he will be able to use and feed to the American corporations and then down through to the public. So I would suggest that Antarctica is a very, very big thing, and we should begin to see something along those lines. In terms of statements, there are certain groups or councils or federations that are heartily sick of the ruling elite on this planet, heartily sick of them. So many broken promises. Remember, the bad off-planets have done the same. They've broken their promises. But we're talking about the governments of the English-speaking world declaring the truth about the creation of humanity, the truth about alien connections with humanity, and the ongoing dialogue, visitations, exchange of VIPs, exchange of technologies that have gone on for very many years, that should be made open to the citizens of the world, you know. And time and time again, these elites have promised that they will. And then they've always found some convincing reason why they couldn't do it. Well, it got to the point earlier this year where it was just a bridge too far. It became obvious that they would never, ever disclose it. So they've been told that this particular group off planet reserves the right, a bit like Trump, reserves the right to take such action as it deems necessary to redress the balance. I'm trying to use the words that were used, but in English, to redress the balance for the people in, or the, you know, the peoples of Earth. In other words, who wants now to be a negative elite in government when at any moment somebody could come down and basically pull your chair away? So that's why lots of people don't particularly now want to be associated with this government or that government. They're waiting to see what will happen. There's an organization called SETI, which was much maligned, but actually has very good scientists, and was slated, I mean it in the American term. In England, if you slate something, then you say it's bad, but I mean it in the American term, which is you write it in chalk and it's projected to come ahead. It was projected to make an announcement, which we'd hoped for in July, along the lines of they'd made a communication with something off planet. Then became obvious that negatives were holding it back because they wanted it as a diversion from any disaster. In other words, let's just suppose that the Dow Jones drops from 7,400, which it is at the moment, down to 3,000 or 3,500. Worse than any Wall Street crash ever. Let's just say that that would happen. One of the best ways to defuse that completely is then to make an announcement the day after that aliens exist, and we've made connection with them, and suddenly it really doesn't matter that you've lost your livelihood. It doesn't matter that your house is going to be repossessed. It doesn't matter that you trusted this person and they disappeared off to South America with all your gold, because, hey, there are aliens. So they held that back because they thought if there was a 3D pandemonium on this planet, they would then have this true fact to take away the people's anger at the financial situation. Now, we didn't get any sort of collapse, and we didn't predict that, but we didn't get any collapse in July, so they didn't make any announcement. If we get a very severe collapse in October, they'll use it. They'll come out and they'll just want to deflect people's attention away from banks. I mean, I know personally people who were very, very high up in the bank, and in 2008, when Lehman Brothers went down and then there was a big banking crash, what's not widely realized is that some of the most key people in the banking world took themselves off for 3 months because they expected to have their house raided. They expected to be attacked in the street. They expected to have hate mail, and they just left the country, and they went out to other countries. And then when the heat had died down, they came back again. These people carry guilt because they know that certain situations in the banking world are artificially created by individuals to make profit. And who suffers? Us. The ordinary people. We're the ones that suffer. All we are, let's be honest about it, from their perspective, is individuals who earn money and then give it to them. That's it, isn't it? What do? You go to work, you earn money, and you give it. They take it. And that keeps them in power. And you just have to survive to go on to the next day to get your next paycheck to give them more money. And this is what we've got to break out of. For goodness sake, humans are the most fantastic creatures. Surely, in the name of Source, we didn't come here on this planet to work 8 hours a day to get just enough money to buy food, to clothe ourselves, to pay for our heating and our lighting, and then give all the rest to tax, or all the rest to unscrupulous people who live far better than we do. Is that really what these fantastic things are that live in our body, these souls that are created by Source, by God, the great creator? Is that why we came here? To spend all our life digging holes in grounds, struggling, to be oppressed, to be treated so badly? Well, why would we do that? No, we've been tricked. We've been tricked by people who've been here longer than we have, who have had the power, have had the knowledge, and have lost the plot as to what it is to be human. In other words, they don't see themselves as part of the human race. They don't see themselves as part of us. They see themselves as this separate, special, elite group who don't want to get their hands dirty with us. And that's how they see it. It's like the first class compartment on the Titanic, and then everyone else. And, you know, let's say that the human Titanic ain't going to sink. Not this time. So I'm very, very passionate about it, because I didn't come here to this planet along, you know, with everyone else here. You know, you also didn't come here just to be browbeaten, to build a pyramid, to drag great huge blocks of stone behind you so that, you know, you die, your friends die, or if you're lucky, you survive, to build this great big shiny edifice so that the top man can stand in front of it and have his photograph taken in front of it. And then in the history books, it says he built it. No, all these other people built it and died for it. And if you look back on the history of this earth, it's ordinary individuals who created, lived and died that left this history for us, not individual. When we think about Alexander the Great, Alexander the Great, oh yes, you know, great tactician. He was 25 or 26 years old, or 23. He was a fantastic tactician. I don't doubt that. But what about all the people that went with him? When do you hear about that? All of those that went with him from country to country. So that's the trouble on this planet. We just focus, well, we're taught to focus on the individual because we grasp that. but we don't understand or we don't accept that there's a huge amount of hard work and effort and energy that is behind that. And that's what we want to tap into, this huge, strong, positive, good energy that exists on this planet. That's what we need to get into. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
Yes. Next question. Good question. Was in kitchen. Right. There's Firefox on. Come on. There we go. Okay. Love you guys from Debbie. Love you guys. Thank you for all you do. Oh, now here's a word. Simon, will you please expand on the Keresh, what you know of them, how to speed up our recall? Us humans are in such a slow, dense dimension. There must be more we can do to help our past recall. Keresh, do you know K-E-R-E-S-C-H? It's unfamiliar to me.
It's a group that has a diversionary connection to the feline group. They're not felines in the true sense of the word, although they have spliced genetics with them at some point in the past. And the little I know of them is they're quite shy and retiring. They're not in your face. They're not put the spotlight on me, I'm going to do a song and a dance. They're deep thinkers, very spiritual, don't really like to get involved in anything that's a bit difficult. The question you ask is a question that most people should ask of themselves. And in order to answer that, you have to know who you are. So you have to have an understanding of who you are as that individual to unlock who you are. And we are all frequencies of energy. And somebody who is in that part of their learning cycle, who's negative, remember, it doesn't mean in 1,000 years they will be negative or 100 years, but they are a negative position at the moment. Their energies are very dense. Other people who are on different aspects of their journey going up are lighter. So in order to connect with who you are, you have to, I use the word play to your strengths. You have to say, okay, I've been identified as a Palladian, or I've been identified as a reptilian, or whatever it might be. How can I connect with that choice? Remember, if you are Palladian or Andromedian or Arcturian, you have chosen that, and those people chose to accept you. That means that's your choice. That's where your home is. That's where your vibrational frequency lies. So if you want to unlock that, it's no good throwing stuff at you that's not compatible. You have to do things that unlock and are seen as compatible. So meditation is the traditional route. And just because it's traditional doesn't mean it's bad. And I've always said we need to meditate. What I've said is, meditation can take different forms depending on the type of individual, depending on your soul. So if you have a sizable portion of reptilian in you, you're going to find it quite difficult to meditate. If you have a lot of Lyran in you, or Palladian or Andromedan, you know, higher human fifth dimension stuff, you'll find it easier to do that. So what each person has to do is identify who they are and how to unlock that. But if you're going to do it, ask yourself, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because it's what you saw on YouTube, because it's what you should do? Or are you doing it because you are on a quest to evolve and to learn? And if you are on a quest, how are you going to make sure you don't get perverted to go down another road? You know, how many people that say join the police force, they join it with the best intentions in the world, because they want to protect people and property. And 5 years down the road, they look back on themselves and they think, well, what went wrong there? So what we need to do is to say, let's be very clear, if we are going on a spiritual journey, this is what the goal is. And you won't be deflected from it either way. So if you are a Palladian, well then, and you're not very good at meditating, and you should be very strongly connected to water. So get some nice water music. Can either be the ocean breaking on a shore, can be the sound of a running river, and very low, play that quietly in the background, and then do 5 minutes of meditation with that in the morning, and 5 minutes in the evening. You've got to do that every day, 7 days a week. And so when you've got into that, then go into the traditional meditation afterwards. So what you're trying to do is to speak to that part of you which rejoices in its history. So if you, we use the Palladian term, if you have that water connection, then you use that as a backdrop to open yourself up so that you can meditate more easily. So most of the people that consult with me, they want to know quite rightly who they are, because then it's a case of, okay, you're this background, how can I meditate more? So it's about building that jigsaw. So it's another good question. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, some fabulous questions here. Okay, so here's one from Martin. And this is three questions of one about sound. Okay, so the first question is, do we need many lifetimes on Earth to know how to instinctively express tone? Because he's saying, I think that beings new to this world may have difficulty receiving and expressing tones. For instance, you know, you can understand from the tone of one's voice, the cadence and all of those things, whether one's being serious or playing around or being sarcastic or things like that. So, because he's saying many extraterrestrial beings or recent incarnations, first life here on Earth, seem not to have an instinctive tone usage and often hard to listen to monotone voices. They get, you know, so it's hard to take in the information without a toneful voice. In brackets, you and JP have very good toneful voices, so it makes it easy to take on the information. So.
So I'll answer that one first, shall I?
Yeah, there's more. Go on.
Okay, that's good. It's a good question. Nobody's ever asked me that question before. Nobody's understood the harmonic resonance between imparting information and truth and the harmonic resonance of imparting lies. So if you take an MK Ultra, we've mentioned that a few times tonight, if you take MK Ultra, well, they will use resonance and tone to impart fear and terror and lies. And then a good person will use a different form of energy and tone to impart truth. Now here's the shocker for everybody. Here's the shocker for them. Fourth dimensional people are better at, the tone than any other dimension on this planet. The reason for that is that the Earth is third dimensional. When the evil nasties, as I call them, the evil nasties took control of the planet, they took fourth dimensional energy, and like a witch, nothing wrong with a witch, remember? A witch or a magician, they crafted, that's the right word, they crafted this energy and created the control system from it. Now, if you want to break the control system, or you want to maintain the control system, then you will have vibrational frequency that matches the control system. Because you're either enhancing that control system or you're working against it. So fourth dimensional entities will have the closest key to the control system. A fifth dimensional person will not be able to match that fourth dimensional energy at all. Now, the question is absolutely spot on. If you arrive here and it's your first time on Earth, you have no training apart from the schooling you might have got. And you have to have a number of lifetimes on here to understand how to relate. That's even worse for people coming from the seventh dimension and higher, because they did not exist in biological bodies. So for them, there's a shock of coming into a biological body, let alone then having to use a physical system to communicate. It's, you know, if you're not in a physical body, you just have instantaneous communication of our consciousness. So for a number of off-planeters, it's hell on Earth, because they come here with a mission. They want to do good. but they can't communicate in a way that people listen to them, or they seem to turn people off, and they're very clumsy. They can't seem to manage because the densities on the planet are different, and they can't manipulate their physical bodies, and it takes them a number of lifetimes. Now, also, that when a person has incarnated in male and female bodies, they are more balanced and can therefore communicate with a wider audience. If you are purely male, you will not connect with the female audience. And if you're a female, you won't necessarily connect with the male audience. I have one memory of being in a female body in about 1806, something like that. So I have one very clear memory of being in a female form. And thank goodness I was, because that allows me today to actually appreciate the strength that women have, that men don't have, human men don't have, and to understand what it's like to be a female. But only because I've got the memory. If I didn't have the memory, it would all have been wasted. I could have been in a female body and, you know, I wouldn't have had any advantage from it, because I wouldn't be able to balance what I am. But because I can remember that. So it is a tricky one, but there are ways to it. So I hope that helps.
I thought I had a few more things. Always do. All right. So the second part of this question is, do reptilians use tone? Do they talk to each other, and do they listen to music and singing? Like, no. Maybe they like satanic rock, etc.
I like it when there's a bit of humour. We don't want to get too heavy here. They don't talk. No, they communicate is a better word. Do they communicate with each other? Yes, but not in the free-flowing way that humans do. So two humans who know each other meet on a dusty sidewalk, and one says to the other, "It's another hot day today, isn't it?" And the other one says, "Yes, it was hot yesterday, wasn't it?" That just doesn't occur. What will happen is, first of all, they are all, if I say networked, I don't mean they are artificially intelligent networked. The hive mind is a term thrown about a lot, but not everyone really understands what that means. So reptilians are hive mind connection because they are incredibly psychic. They really are connected to each other very strongly. So they don't need to ask you how your grandmother was. They don't need to ask you, you know, "I want that £5 note back. You know, the $10 you owe me," because you already know they're going to ask you that, and you've got it ready to give it. So it means that sort of interaction doesn't exist. And they're also incredibly hierarchical. So this is what you won't find this in any book or on the internet. But certain castes, you can't talk unless you're spoken to. So in the reptilian world, a soldier cannot speak to his superior, and remember, vast majority of these creatures are male, can't speak to his superior unless his superior speaks to him first. So you get a very stilted, disjointed form of communication, and it's very factual. And that communication is all from mind to mind. So I hope that helps.
Right. So finally, are we designed to react with tones, or react to tones, for a reason?
Right. All mammal. Well, I can't say that. I would suggest that many mammals will react to tone. First of all, our auditory devices are designed to pick up vibrations, energy vibrations, frequencies in the air. So therefore, we are meant to hear sound. And therefore, the elements of the brain will be attuned to pick out certain frequencies, certain sounds, and certain sounds will have certain effects on us. So think about in Tibet, where they will strike a bell or a something like that to clear the air, to make the break, to start afresh. You know, they understand that. Sound is used for purifying, and it's also been used as a weapon. Let's not forget that. One of the first weapons that the humans ever obtained was sort of a microwave device. You know, think about the Bible, the horns of Jericho, trumpets of Jericho, where they walked around and blew the horn 7 times and the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. It's not a fairy tale. It's a device that fires sound waves and you vibrate and, you know, the bricks just gave way. The Americans were experimenting with a weapon to try to bring down alien spacecraft in the late 40s that was sound wave. They were trying to put it onto their F-86 Sabre aircraft. The problem was that the weight of this device was such that these early jet aircraft just couldn't cope with it. And then they wanted to put them into the bigger aircraft, the turboprop, but the aircraft couldn't travel so fast, so they couldn't catch up with the chicken and egg. They couldn't catch up with the spacecraft. So sound waves are incredibly important. Yes, if you look at mind control techniques, going right back to the times of Babylon, and I know exponents of Atlantis don't like me saying it, but it's a fact, not everything in Atlantis was rosy and hunky and dory. They were looking at frequency sounds with crystals. When you strike a crystal with a thought, with an energy intent, it can hum, it can vibrate. A lot of it you can't hear with your auditory ears, but you can hear with your mind. And then some of the frequencies could be heard with the ear. You can use that for mind control. You can use it for mind programming. For heaven's sake, think of Pavlov's dog. He rang a bell. Yes, he'd fed the dog. He rang the bell and the dog started wanting its dinner because it associated the sound of the bell with being fed. Well, you're only one step from mind control, aren't you? You know, you have a certain sound, you will go and murder a president, or you will go and do this, or you will go and do that. And then the sound, another sound is given and you completely switch off. So yes, mammals, very, very, very much part of sound. Good question. Again, some really excellent questions, which I've never had before. Thank you.
Yeah, they're really good questions today. I'm very happy.
Now, I just have to hope that my answers, I must have to hope that my answers are up to the quality of the question. You know, that's really important that I give my best. Thanks.
Well, there you go. There you go. There's a thing you can, you always, stick the thumbs up on the video. You know, there's a large number of people are watching on the video. Now, here we go. This is the question. Oh, this is a question that's going to send ripples throughout the universe, the known and the unknown. You'll hear it. Is Earth, this is from C. Smith, is Earth the only planet with chocolate? And if not, which planet has the best chocolate? And how do I get some?
Well, wonderful. That should have been the last question, because don't forget you want to ask me the question on the pictures.
It's a sort of and finally question, isn't it? Shall we keep that one?
No, that's not fair on the question. Yeah. No, we will answer it. But don't forget you sent me those pictures and you want to ask me a question on the pictures.
Yes, so I'll pick that one up next.
All right, we'll do the chocolate. Yeah. Right. Well, certain insects on this planet are addicted to sugar, or can make it. So bees make honey, and butterflies and other insects like the nectar from plants. we haven't now at this time in the lake got would like to discuss and talk about how insects and plants got to this planet, but perhaps another time we get asked that question. Sweet things are actually a trap. And, you know, if you consume, and I'm terrible, I eat too many biscuits, but if you consume a lot of sugar, then you begin to feed the bad bugs in your body. And you become addicted to it. And sugar, chocolate are understood to be a good marketing tool for the corporations who want to sell something. So they don't have any problem in selling stuff that are associated with something sweet. So if we have chocolate, we have it because we have created something from natural ingredients, or by and large natural ingredients. That means that those natural ingredients may not create chocolate, but they create other things. I'm aware of another place. They don't have chocolate, but they have, this is going to be hopefully nice and way out for your answer. It's a nothing physical. It is a intent, an energy intent, which gives you peace. And you could describe it as sweet. So it's an energy. You don't eat it. You know, you don't plug it in. You just, it's created and you behold it. And you could feel it with your hands. And it's like chocolate, except it doesn't have any of the polluting effects on your body. So these are particular beings who exist between the physical and the non-physical state. Now, unfortunately, the questioner isn't ever going to be able to sample that in this lifetime. So no, I'm not aware of chocolate in the true sense of the word in any other planet. So I'm afraid you can't get any. So I hope that's not made you too sad.
What about its origin? Where did chocolate, do you know where chocolate came from? Who seeded chocolate? Who brought it here?
Well, you're talking about cocoa. You're talking about, well, one of the things that Source did, it provided any creature that had the wit or the intelligence to develop, it provided resources, and the Bible says it, but it calls it God. And it was up to individuals how they mixed and matched what they found on this planet. And that is part of the beauty of being a human, that you can say, well, I ate that leaf and I was very ill, so I won't eat that again. Now, I ate that leaf and all the spots on my face disappeared, so I'm going to market that leaf as a spot remover. But if I mix that leaf with that berry over there, I get a really nice flavour. That's the beauty. That's what humans do. They create. They create not just physically, but they create energetically. So all these resources were given by Source, which are on the planet. Sadly, the problem is that the elite then sequestered, oh, what a good word for a Sunday, sequestered some of these resources and said, they are ours. You can't have those. And some of the ones that were less important, they said, they're still ours. But you know what? We'll sell them to you. Ooh, like petrol, diesel. So we'll sell them to you. But the real top ones, like the cure for cancer, increase your lifespan by X, Y, or Z, well, they're here, but they're not out in the public. I mean, remember earlier this year, I think it was, when one of the Rockefellers, he was 99 years old, and he was on his third heart. So he had three heart transplants, and he was on his 99th birthday, or around about 99 years old, he had his third heart. You know, there are people in their 30s and 40s who are struggling to get a heart. You know, and we're talking about waking up humanity. For goodness sake, there's a guy who's 99 years old who gets a heart. Well, this is the problem, that a lot of the resources are held and the truth about their healing abilities are not released. You know, why is cannabis so evilly looked on, when cannabis used correctly is actually a very, very good healing thing? So it's the questioner actually has opened up a huge box of further questions that come from that. And it's all about the control on this planet. Thank you.
That's true. So look, did you get to see any of those pictures that I linked you?
I saw everyone.
Okay, I'll go straight into his questions because he's got a great big long thing. Who were the beings? Where could I be? Did I move my consciousness to another dimension, space, or completely another case?
Right. The first picture is an apple. It's also very heavily sexualized. But when I say the sexualized, I don't mean it from an evil or a nasty point of view. I mean it's the feminine sex. And that it's talking about the Eve energy. So you're not anywhere. That is an image that you've been given of the apple, and it's the divine feminine. So that apple, the first picture is the Divine Feminine. The second, well, I can't do it in order, but the other picture, there were two drawings. One was in day and one was in night, or at least different energies. And it was a crystal, these like quartz crystals up sticking up in the ground. And then there was like a bubble under the earth and three beings in there. That is either an underground base or, more interestingly, what we call a pod, which can manifest itself in the earth like a portal, and then they can exist for a short period of time there and then disappear. The other image that you showed me was three crystals standing up and then three tower blocks. And what you're being told there is that you should organically grow your houses. Probably a bit confusing for some people.
Sounds cool to me.
Right. So the drawing that I was shown by that person, the image they got, was that you need to live like that. Now, an alien spacecraft is not built. It is organically grown. So all of the furniture, for want of a better word, is actually grown from the craft as it is built. It's built molecule by molecule. That's how these craft, that's why they're so incredibly strong. There's no stress lines or fractures through them. There's no wells, nothing like that. So it's molecule by molecule. That's how they're built in these special vats. So what they're saying is this crystalline structures can make great houses. You need to organically grow a house. So what's happening is this is the difference between an abduction and an experience. Somebody is entering our friend's mind and giving him heads up, giving him information, saying this is how you might want to live. This is very important. These are things that are important to you. Look, and one of the words, I don't like being called an abductee, because in many cases I'm not abducted. You know, I talk about when I was running out of time now, I'll make this quick. When I was 5 or 6 years old, this entity stood me on a coffee table in the front room where I was living, and then what appeared to me, the whole ceiling disappeared and was covered with stars. Well, that isn't the case. I was just standing on the coffee table, but the being had entered my mind and given me an experience. It's a lot cheaper to do that than whisk you off to Mars. So the problem is that a lot of these diehard researchers don't value experiences. They want the abductions. You know, we want you on the gurney, we want you on the trolley, we want them sticking things up you and all this, that, and that. Well, that's just nonsense. That's nonsense in the sense that that is no more or no less valuable than someone who has their mind entered by a very advanced entity to give them images. Now, some of those images may not be good, some may be bad. So this person has been interacted. They're absolutely genuine. These are real drawings. I have no doubt that the person has had genuine experiences, and I've had more time. And I would give them a much more detailed talk. So that's exciting. So we're out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, I'll send you the question. Maybe you can come back with it or something like that. Okay, thank you very much, Simon Parks.
Thank you, everybody.
Connecting Consciousness.